Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 20th, the year of our Lord, 2024. This is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. It's a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. I pray that you will find this time together a time of refreshing and renewing as we consider God's good word and how it can change our lives. So as we begin, let's do what we do around here, which is to begin in thanksgiving and to begin with thanking God for the gift of life, taking in the breath of life. So let's do just that. Find yourself in a relaxed position. Let the tension come out of your shoulders, maybe shake your hands a little bit, and breathe. Take in a breath, and thank God for that breath. Hold on to it for a moment, and then let it go. And take in another breath, and savor that breath as a gift. And as you breathe and as you allow yourself to be calm and to be still, I want you to call to mind those things that light you up inside, those things that you would number as gifts in your life, blessings in your life, the people in your life, the opportunities you've had or things you're looking forward to. Call these things to mind. Call these people to mind. And as you think about these people, places, things, and opportunities, as you call them to mind, as you can imagine them, see them in your mind, give thanks to God for all of it. Thanks be to God. Perhaps turn your eyes toward the heavens. And if you can, stretch your arms out wide as if to embrace God. And in this posture, in this mind of thanksgiving and praise, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the invocation as printed in your digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast in that left margin just below the line. You'll see a box that says Sermon Notes. You click in there and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Most High, your Anointed One offered himself freely as a witness against our violence, our acts of oppression, and our sin. As you delighted to call him your son, give us the courage to bring you equal delight by our willingness to drink the cup of sacrifice on behalf of our sisters and brothers, and with them offer you praise unceasing and lives transformed as true heirs of your grace-filled realm. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews in the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. We call out to you and we pray that you will meet us right here and right now. As we seek to understand this word, as we seek to take it into ourselves and to incorporate it into our lives. And so we pray, save us from distraction and misinterpretation so that we might truly hear what it is you are saying to us, that we might truly unwrap this gift that is your good word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, just a couple brief points for reflection. This letter to the Hebrews, somewhat mysterious. We're not certain of its author. We're not exactly certain of who the author is writing to. I think it's safe to assume it's a congregation of Jewish Christians, people who have risked a great deal in response to the truth that Jesus is Lord, a Messiah, and the implications it has for them as those who were raised in the Jewish tradition but now find that there's no way for them to honestly practice that tradition without including Jesus as Messiah. But it comes at a price. They lose family and friends. It impacts their financial situation. They become poor. They suffer, and the suffering has gotten to the point where the movement is falling apart. And so therefore, this letter that reminds them of the salvation history of their faith, how God time and time and time again intervenes on their behalf so that they could persevere as a people up until that present moment. And so for us, and so while the author writes the letter for them at that time, we receive it as a gift for such a time as this. Now, I can't say that I have suffered for the faith, for the proclamation of the faith, the way these folks did. By no stretch of the imagination has that happened to me. I am encouraged to do what I do. I do so publicly. I make a little recording every week, and I put it out in the world, and I claim with whatever boldness I can muster that Jesus is Lord. And for now, at least, I can do so with a reasonable assurance that I'm okay. So then what do we do with these teachings on suffering? Because very clearly, Jesus suffers on our behalf. And not only at the cross, but if you consider the stories of Jesus' public ministry, a lot of it was hard. At best, being misunderstood every day. At best, just looking around at his disciples and wondering, will these guys ever get it? Looking at the human condition and knowing as the author of life that this was not God's intention for the way people should live. And so my personal challenge, the challenge to myself, and perhaps you could join me in it, is to spend some time reflecting on this letter to the Hebrews. And then to think about the ways I am challenged in my life to persevere in the name of Christ, to go out into the world in the name of the good. Where are those places I'm called to go that maybe I wouldn't even name them suffering? Maybe it's a mild form of suffering that you might call inconvenience. Maybe it's a giving of my time. As I think about those things, those places where I'm challenged to go, I count myself blessed that none of them that I call to mind right now, as far as I can tell, ask me to risk my life. They ask me to sacrifice my time. They ask me to make myself maybe a little bit more vulnerable and transparent to people than I might otherwise be. They might ask me to go to places or encounter people that make me uncomfortable or afraid. These are the places that Jesus calls us to go, the places that he sent the disciples to go, and where he sent them out. You can recall the story where he begins to send them out on these mission trips as he's teaching them and preparing them for their life and ministry. And he sends them out vulnerable with just enough for a day's journey so that they'll have to go and seek the grace and charity of others. And as they find gracious and charitable people, they find a place to create community, a place where the gospel can get a hearing. But that also means stepping into places where they will be rejected, places where their lives might be threatened. So perhaps today you and I can spend a little bit of time thinking of people and places and opportunities that are worth the risk. People and places and opportunities that we might lift before God and say, God, this person is on my heart. This situation is on my heart. I know that you are deeply acquainted with risk-taking and suffering on behalf of the other, so that the world would know that you are God, that love, truth, and beauty, these are the eternal things. God, where are you calling me to take a risk, to sacrifice, to have some discipline, and to perhaps endure a little bit of pain? And as we think about these things and we pray over them to review the history of our faith, to look at the stories of the early church, to read through the book of Acts, wherever it is you can find this ancient encouragement, and also in your own lives. Who are the exemplars of the faith that you know in your own life? There are, of course, we find great encouragement from the saints and the martyrs of our faith. But maybe that's too intimidating for us in the moment. Who is the person in your life, in your family, on your block, that seems to have this steadfast, peaceful faith that you know has endured hardship and grief, that you know makes time for anyone who needs their time? Knowing that they find that strength through Christ. This great high priest, a priest different than the earthly priests, a priest who comes with a different mission and way and in a different line. In that exercise, in the contemplation, in the confession, and in the asking, God, show me the way. Show me the need. Prepare the way for me. Give me the faith and the strength that I need, and I will go. Take that first step of faith. I'll commit to you, if you'll commit to me, that over the course of this week, I'll be reviewing my prayer list and asking God, who do I need to sacrifice for? In your way, for whom or for what should I invite some suffering into my life? It's a profound and deep prayer, not one to be taken lightly, and not necessarily a road to be walked alone. But you will find in the praying and in the answering and in the living and in the doing and in the midst of the hardship and the discipline and perhaps the suffering, we meet the love of God. We meet Christ. And in the deepest sense, we experience powerful good news. To which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. We pray to you, O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Jesus and Mary and Joseph, God of the unnamed faithful, God of saints and sinners alike. Lord, we call to you and we pray and we confess that we have sinned and fallen short by the things we say and the things we neglect to say, by the things that we do and the times that we should have done something but we didn't. You know all this about us. We name it before you. We put it on the altar before you, and we seek your forgiveness for it. We ask that you would lift us up and dust us off. We seek to claim the promise of our faith that when we confess our sin, you forgive us. You put us back on the path and continue to lead us home. Thank you. And in this return to a right relationship with you, O God, there are so many things on our hearts and our minds. We pray for this country, O God, the United States of America. We pray for this, your good world, and those who find themselves in positions of leadership around the world. May they come to know you. May they seek your wisdom first. And may that be true of all of us, regardless of how much influence or power that we have in the world. Meet us in our daily living, we pray. And God, you know that each and every one of us has a list of joys and concerns, things that we anticipate with excitement and things that we are not looking forward to in the least. We pray with those who grieve. We ourselves may be grieving in this moment, O God, and ask that you join us in our grief, that you know these prayer lists. And so we pause for a moment to be quiet, to make a quiet space that you could consider the prayers of our hearts, and that in the quiet we might listen for your voice. We break our silence. And we thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we celebrate this gift of prayer. We give you thanks for the faithful generations who have preserved for us our prayers, our scriptures, our songs, our sacraments and traditions. And among these treasures is a prayer that goes by your name, and we ask, hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with our minds focused on Jesus, the creator and the perfecter of our faith, who endured suffering and death, even death on a cross, so that we might come to fully see who we are and who he is and what love means. That love is eternal and valuable and worth every sacrifice. The love of God, a gift to us all. God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who loves you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.